नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 7 entitled The Killing of the Demon Tṛṇāvarta, text 21. Gokulam sarvamāvṛṇvan, Gokulam sarvamāvṛṇvan, muṣṇam cakṣuṁ śirenubhih, मुष्णं चक्षुं शिरेणुभिः, ईरयन् सुमहाघोरा, ईरयन् सुमहाघोरा, शब्देन प्रदिशो दिशः, शब्देन प्रदिशो दिशः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Covering the whole land of Gokul with particles of dust, that demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision and began vibrating everywhere with a greatly fearful sound. Purport. Tṛṇāvartasura assumed the form of a whirlwind and covered with a dust storm the whole tract of land known as Gokula, so that no one could see even the nearest thing. The pastimes of the Lord are not only very enchanting to the heart, but also very instructive if we contemplate with intelligence that is refined through regular hearing from the genuine representatives of the Lord. This is another very beautiful pastime wherein Krishna, who is just 1 year old, few days still left to turn one, lying on the lap of his mother and understands that this huge whirlwind demon is going to come and carry me off with a desire to kill me. Not wanting to unnecessarily disturb his mother and arranging in such a way that she may keep him down, he increases his weight well in advance, even before Tṛṇāvarta is arriving. And Mother Yashoda, when she notices that his weight is increasing, she's not able to bear it anymore. She puts him down, gets busy with her work, and Tṛṇāvarta, a servant of Kamsa, a very demoniac person, a demoniac mentality, demoniac intention, wanting to kill Krishna, comes in the form of a whirlwind. That's a mystic yogi. It's unimaginable that mystic yogis had such power in the previous ages. Today anyone has even a drop of it, he'll be worshipped as the supreme. And these are powerful demons. So he comes, and as soon as he reaches near Krishna, Krishna intentionally reduces his weight to that of a feather, like a grass, dry grass, makes it easier for Tṛṇāvarta to do his nefarious activity. And effortlessly, Tṛṇāvarta lifts him up high in the sky, Actually, one Acharya gives the purport. And the demigods were very eager to have close look at Krishna's face. You know, so standing near the clouds, they didn't get, you know, good view. So Trinavarta assisted that, brought him close. Demigods could actually see. And when he was high up in the air, then Krishna increased his weight without increasing his size. That is the amazing thing about Krishna. Every aspect, every part of his body demonstrated supreme strength. In one particular prayer by, I think, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, speaks about every aspect of Krishna's body, how he demonstrated the supreme, you know, angani asya sakalendra vritti manti. Every part of his body in and of itself is complete. His fist, the power of his fist was shown when he killed Keshi. Just put his fist inside the mouth of Keshi and he choked to death. The power of his lips is shown when he sucked Putana's life air while sucking the milk from her breast and also the poison. And the tip of his toe, that was shown by when he destroyed Shakatasura. Just effortlessly just touched him. So in this way, different demons that he killed, he showed different potencies of different parts of his body equally being powerful. So Krishna, without increasing his size, increased his weight practically to the size, the weight of the universe. Quite a mountain, huge mountain. And Trinavarta was becoming too much. And he realized that he started falling back. So then he wanted to throw him off, throw Krishna off. And however he tried, Krishna's just sweet, you know, little hands, butter-like, soft hands. You see very young children, 1 year, their hands are so soft. Their grip is also, according to them, they are very tight grip, but you can easily just, you know, get away from that grip if you want. What to speak of 1 year, even 5-6 year olds, sometimes they become very stubborn. Father is leaving and I want also come, I want to come. Take a ride in your motorcycle or whatever. Tells the mother, father tells him, keep him back, I have to go to some important. No, and he's catching. Of course, very nicely he tries to distract, but if he's not, then forget it, you know, I can't play around. So here is a powerful demon living for 1 lakh years. According to one of the sub Puranas, Brahma Vaivart Puran, he was a demon. He was a Pandyan king and he was enjoying with his wives in a river, and suddenly Durvas Muni came and he went in front of him naked. He cursed him, he'll become a demon and he'll be delivered by Krishna. So, this powerful demon, with all his might, is trying to, you know, release himself from this grip of little Krishna, just tiny, with tiny little hands, but he's just not able to do it. And ultimately, under the weight of Krishna, crushes on a stone slab in Vrindavan. He's finished. Breaks his bones and dies. actually his life is right in the air itself. It is, he's finished. Then he falls and breaks down, breaks his bones. Then of course Yashodamai picks up and all. Gopis picks up and then pick him up and then pray, etc. So here is a demon who is carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his shoulder and actually gave pleasure to Krishna. He gave him a free ride, you know, some kind of a Ferris wheel, merry-go-round, something. You go up and then you come down. It's actually very wonderful. The kids, they really enjoy some part of it. Coming down is a little uncomfortable. Going up is nice. Similar incident we find even in Chaitanya Leela, where little Nimai was given a free ride by two thieves who carried the Supreme Personality of Godhead on their shoulder and were carrying him throughout the market. They were attracted not to Nimai but to Nimai's beautiful ornaments. So with an intention to steal, they just picked him up because they saw that no one is around. Lesson for the parents, not to leave their kids, especially well dressed, and then, you know, unattended. Invitation for different people. So nobody is there. So they just picked up. Hey, we're going to take you home. Child, we'll take you home. And he said, oh, really? And one of them put Nimai on his shoulder and talking to him very sweetly to keep his attention so that he doesn't start crying. You know, mummy. People will know. Hundreds of people are watching right in the market. So he's just talking as if, you know, his own kid, own child. And the other one, just to make sure that he doesn't cry, is taking Sandesh and feeding him. Just imagine, personally carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead on your shoulder and feeding him. And Nimai accepted it. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he generally doesn't accept. Duryodhan wanted to give him, you know, chappan bhog, but he didn't accept. But he accepted the food offered by this thief with an evil intention. Nimai was enjoying the ride, enjoying the sweet. Of course, he bewildered them and when they put him down thinking they would reach their house, they found that it was actually Jagannath Mishra's house. So, as we were discussing just 3 days back, I was speaking on the same verse, on the previous verses, a very interesting point that just came to my mind, that Yashodamai is also carrying, and Trinavarta is also carrying Krishna. But for one, it is a burden of love, and for the other, it is a burden of the beast, as Srila Prabhupada explains in third canto purport. There are two kinds of burden, the burden of love and the burden of the beast. Burden of beast means carrying like a donkey. And when there is no love, then it becomes a burden. For a mother to carry her child is actually Of course, the child doesn't change when the child is in the hand of a maid servant. The same. But for the mother, it's a burden of love. And for the maid servant, who may not have love for the child, who may have love for the remuneration that comes at the end. And therefore, it's actually a burden. So similarly, when we come to devotional service and we feel nice, we feel relieved from the burden of material existence. So we have thrown off that burden. The unwanted burden that Prahlad Maharaj says, Naivo dvije paraduratyaya vaitaranya tvadvirya gayana mahamrata magna chittaha shochetato vimukhachetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. He says, Naiva Udvije. He says, for myself, Prahlad Maharaj is telling the Supreme Lord, Lord Narsingadev, Naiva Udvije. I am not disturbed. Para, O my Supreme Lord, Duratyaya Vaitaranya. This material existence, which is so miserable, struggle for existence, it's no more for me. Why? Because I am completely absorbed in your service, in your remembrance. Mahamrita. For me, it's actually nectarian. But shoche tato, I actually lament. Vimukha chetasa indriyartha. For just for the sense gratification who have turned away from you. And to enjoy their senses in this world and its extensions, they are creating so much burden for themselves. So many self-created burden in the name of responsibilities. Many of them may be unwanted, unnecessary necessities. We create unnecessary necessities. And to struggle to maintain that, to procure and to maintain so much of labor, unwanted labor, that is labor of an ass. There is a labor of love and there is a labor of an ass. So that kind of a thing is called unwanted labor. So much of struggle. So I pity them. So when a conditioned soul comes into devotional service, he is relieved of that burden. So it's a wonderful feeling, a feeling of relief from that kind of ordeal or that kind of activities, effort. But then, simply a sense of relief in and of itself cannot be a motivation to continue in devotional service. Unless there is, unless the heart is into it, and that is a labor of love, or the burden of love. Responsibility means burden. Burden means weight. It's a weight. Carry, we have to carry heavy weight. So in the long term, having come into devotional service, if everyone actually looks for fulfillment of the heart, everyone wants to put their heart into something. Because when we put our heart into something, and we see something happening, our heart feels fulfilled, happy, satisfied. And that's actually most important. It's not anything else. It's ultimately state of the heart. Is your heart fulfilled, satisfied, happy? Then it really doesn't matter. Externals really don't matter so much. So when that kind of a, when we come to devotional service, and if we sustain our devotional service simply based on the emotion of relief, then there is no hope for the future, unless there is fulfillment of the heart. And that fulfillment is found when we actually serve as a servant of Krishna, because that's our natural constitutional position. And immediately, that's why when Vedvyas was dissatisfied, Narada Muni told him, glorify pure devotional service. Pure devotional service. Purity is important, because that's our natural constitutional position. To love, to serve. To love and to serve is the natural constitutional position of the heart. So unless that service is out of love, and that love manifests as loving service, it's actually not going to satisfy. And Devamrita Maharaj, His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj, in his series of lectures in Ukraine, in Russian festival, which is converted into a book called Bhakti Bhava, beautifully expresses, mentions, what is Chaitanya Leela? Chaitanya Leela is a demonstration that there is no other position or no other position higher and better than being a servant of Krishna. Advaitacharya wants to become a servant, forgetting his lordhood, godhood. All of us want to be God. Now we may not agree, as devotees here in the temple, we ask, how many of you want to be God? We may not raise our hands, but we all want to be controllers. We all want to be enjoyers. Subtly, we want things to be happen the way we want. We want people to behave exactly the way we want. We want the whole world to go exactly as we want. So many expectations. We expect everyone to do exactly what we want. That's our expectation. And we get tremendously disturbed if things don't happen the way we want. So that's the wanting to be God. And here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. He hates Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipping him. Even though Mahaprabhu sees him as his senior guru's god brother and worships him, Advaitacharya doesn't want it. Nityananda Sankarsana Karanodakshai Garbhodakshai Kshirodakshai, the first expansion of the Supreme Lord, even he is blissful and mad in ecstasy of devotional service. So much so, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to become a servant, experience the joy of becoming the servant of the servant. Because he says, I, as the supreme enjoyer, am not enjoying as much as my servants are. That's the joy of serving. But that service can also become a burden. So much so that we may want liberation from devotional service. The Sri Vigraha, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained, has become Galagraha. Oh, this deity has become a Galagraha, a big burden on the neck. Why does it happen? It is explained, Rupa Goswami elaborates and gives us that it becomes prayas. Prayas means unwanted labor. Atyahara prayasascha. So prayas means unnecessary labor. So when there is no feeling of the heart into what we are doing, then it becomes a burden. And naturally, everyone wants relief from the burden. So there are different prayasa. Jnane prayasa udapasya namanta eva. Lord Brahma says, one kind of prayas is jnana prayas. So, prayas or endeavor that is done simply to equip ourselves with so much of knowledge, but it becomes a heavy burden on the head, but it actually doesn't, there's no heart into it, it becomes a big endeavor. Then there is karma prayas or knowledge, so that we will be relieved. How to acquire knowledge so that I can be relieved from any burden. And another one is karma prayas. If there is no love, then everything is a prayas. Dharma swanushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuya na utpadiyed yadiratim shramaye vahi kevalam. It becomes unnecessary labor, fruitless, futile labor. If it doesn't lead, our activity should lead to devotion or love. If it is not leading to love, feeling for the Lord, then that eventually in and of itself becomes big burden. That service can become burden. So therefore, whatever we do in devotional service, prayas is necessary because we are in conditioned life. To come to pure life, some effort is necessary. That prayas. What is that prayas? Prayas to hear and chant. Prayas to visit holy places in the association of devotees. Prayas to serve the Lord. To serve the Vaishnavas. That's an endeavor. But that endeavor is actually moving towards, you know, love. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. This is the spirit. This is the principle. Anything that is favorable, is it leading me to that? Otherwise, all rules and regulations can become a big burden. Even rules and regulations of the scriptures can become a big burden. There is a letter of the law and there is a spirit of the law. If the spirit of the law is not understood, which is our endeavor, to understand the spirit of the law. If you don't understand the spirit of the law, simply following the letter of the law becomes burdensome. It actually becomes burdensome. And we may prove ourselves right and still be completely wrong in terms of achieving the goal. I'll just give one or two examples. How smallest things we can see this. Sometimes we become too fidgety about the rules or too particular rather about the rules. It should be exactly like this and all that. Something like Karma Kanda. They're also, Karmakandis are also doing rituals and the devotees are also doing rituals. But Niyama Agraha, if you are doing the ritual just for the sake of rituals and not understanding the spirit, then automatically it becomes futile. One time a devotee, right here in the temple hall, a new person came, a new devotee came and he saw a senior person, devotee, and he wanted to offer prostrated obeisances. See, in the beginning when we come to Krishna consciousness, if we maintain the same attitude throughout, we will become pure very soon. Anyone, any object, any person, some semblance of devotion, immediately we offer obeisances, respect. At the highest level also, Kanishtha and Uttama, both always respect to everyone and everything. In between comes the problem. Because there is familiarity. And familiarity breeds contempt when ourselves and our ego are in the center, or sense gratification is the center. Selfishness or egoism is the center, then familiarity breeds contempt. We see too much, too close. We hear too much. We experience too much, which is difficult for us to appreciate. And therefore, there is no respect. And so, but if we understand the spirit of that law and follow the law, not neglect the law thinking it is irrelevant and not accept it simply for the sake of acceptance, but actually take the spirit of the law and do consciously, knowing why am I doing what I am doing? What's the purpose? Is it pleasing to Krishna? Smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavya na jatu chitta. If there is love, there is remembrance. I have come here to surrender my life to Krishna. I have understood, after millions of lifetimes, I have understood the goal of life is to please Krishna, to please Guru, to please Vaishnavas, to live according to the scriptures, spirit of the law. When we do that, then familiarity only breeds to respect, appreciation, and intimacy. But that struggle is to keep the spirit in picture. The heart of the law. Understand the heart of the law. And to understand the heart of the law, we have to put our heart into the law. Why am I doing what am I doing? Otherwise, years and lifetimes can pass. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are two kinds of Vaishnavas. The swan-like Vaishnavas and the ass-like Vaishnavas. When I heard this, I got little... Why Bhaktivinoda Thakur blaspheming devotees? Ass-like Vaishnavas? So yes, there are two kinds of Vaishnavas. The swan-like Vaishnavas and the ass-like Vaishnavas. And its Sanskrit is Saragrahi and Bharavahi. The swan has a special characteristic, I found out. You know, they say, if you give milk and water mix, it extracts the milk and leaves the water. I thought this is just a poetic, you know, kind of expression. But actually I found out, the swan has in its mouth some kind of acidic secretion. And when it, if you give a, in a container, milk mixed with water, it releases that acidic content into the water. Just like if you put lemon juice, few drops into the milk with water, what happens? It becomes paneer-like, right? It separates. Immediately, it breaks and milk separates. So it releases like that and picks up only those particles of hardened milk and leaves the water. Similarly, in this material world, mixed with three modes of material nature, a highly introspective sage, he extracts only those things that is favorable for devotional service. Everything he neglects, like a honey bee, just takes without crushing the flower. Amazing, the honey bee has a special characteristic. It sits on the flower, and through that stamen, and actually it has a special, you know, sting, no, not a sting, it's some kind of a hairy like whisker, yeah, something like that. So it introduces into the flower and just takes, without crushing the flower, it extracts the essence without crushing it. We have to crush it to extract the essence of something. Crush the flower to extract, you know, gulab, what is that, to make, rose flower if you want to make this gulkan. But the honeybee has a, without, it just takes, extracts the essence without disturbing anything. He learns how in this particular situation, what can I learn? To come closer to Krishna, see the mercy of Krishna, please Krishna, serve Krishna, that's all. If it's not beneficial, Gandhiji's three monkeys. I don't see anything, I don't hear anything, I can't understand. I'll just extract whatever is necessary. That's a Saragrahi. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this great sage in the 11th canto, Avadhuta, he traveled all over the planet and he just extracted from everything, he was learning something. That's a Saragrahi. And therefore, he feels light. He feels elevated. Spirit and fire, these are the two things which go up. Everything else comes down. Spirit is always going up. High spirits. And fire. Fire is also going up. Everything else in the world comes down. So more spiritually enlivened we are, extract the essence, the more we feel enlivened, enthused and inspired. In every situation, failure is a stepping stone to success. Through that failure, we learn, oh, this is it. Wonderful lesson. I can move ahead. And on the other hand is a Bharavahi. One who simply carries loads and loads of instructions. And eventually those rituals become empty. Because they are empty, they become burdensome. Empty of the spirit, they become burdensome. There seems to be so many contradictions of the instructions, and therefore there is unnecessary argument, which is what Trinavarta represents, false arguments, because of not understanding the essence. If we don't understand the heart of the law, there is contradiction. So here is this new person, anyway, coming back to why I start, where I started. So this new man came, and he offered obeisances to the senior person, and the senior person blasted him. Don't you understand? Haven't you read the Nectar of Devotion? It says there, in front of the deities, you are not supposed to offer obeisance to another person. And that person was really shaken. Said, what is this Nectar of Devotion? Some nectar and juice. Go in the stall and buy it. It's a book. Full of instructions. And when this incident was reported by one devotee to another authority, a senior authority, he said, while instructing this devotee, a new devotee, the senior devotee broke another law. And that is, you should not get angry and chastise anyone in front of the Lord. So while executing one law, he broke another law. I remember many years ago, we went to Jagannath Puri, 300 devotees, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and about 300 of us, we went to Jagannath Puri many years, long back. And we went to Gundicha temple, and next to Gundicha temple is a Gaudiya Math, where His Holiness Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, who recently departed 2 years back, it was in the early 90s almost. He was there. And we all went, and the DT was opened like this, DT room, and all of us sat, small temple, we all sat there and watching. And Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj was so happy to see Vaishnavas. Actually, he says, one of the thing about Vaishnavas, if you don't feel happy to see another Vaishnava, something is wrong. You must feel actually happy to see another Vaishnava. Very difficult in Kali Yuga. So he was happy to see 300 people. Immediately said, Prasad. So they immediately were cooking something and brought some, you know, fruit salad they made and things like that, of some fruits like that, in small cups, leaf cups. And they immediately distributed. Within 10 minutes, all his disciples ran and prepared prasad. It was an unexpected visit. Still, he was so happy. We did kirtan. By the time they were prepared prasad, and it was given to everyone. And he said, So we are facing the deities, and he is sitting next to the deity, something like where that Mataji is standing, and looking at us, facing us. And he was telling, eat, eat, enjoy prasad. So Maharaj told Madan Gopal Prabhu, who was sitting next to him, he said, ask him, can we eat, because the deity's curtain is open and we are not supposed to eat. And you know, in different temples, people are very strict about certain things. So Maharaj wanted to be very safe. He says, ask him, he's asking us to eat, but you know, the curtain is open, can we eat? Because we are not supposed to eat in front of, when the curtain is open. So this devotee, Madan Gopal Prabhu, went and spoke in his ear, and he says, Maharaj, can we eat prasad? Prasad, you know, we can eat prasad, can we? So he is hard of hearing, is because very, he said, it is prasad, it is offered, it is offered. He thought, he wants to find out whether this is offered or not. Yes, yes, it is offered. So he got bewildered and he came and sat next to Maharaj. Maharaj said, go and ask him again. Said, ask him whether we can eat, because the curtain is open. And again he went and he, little louder, and he says, Maharaj, can we eat, because the curtain is open? He says, eat, 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 eat. Krishna will be very happy to see his devotees taking prasad, enjoying prasad. Big relief for us. Then we started eating. So we got blessings. Of course, that doesn't mean every time we do it. But then the spirit is like, Krishna is happy to see. So, it really, unless we know the heart of the Lord, we can't know the heart of his laws. Because the lawmaker made law with some intention. And if you know the heart of the Lord, we will know the heart of the law. Sadhavo hrudayo mahyam, sadhunam hrudayam toham, madanyatena janati naham tebhyo managapi. So actually, because the devotees of the Lord reside in the heart of the Lord, they know the heart of the Lord. And whatever the Lord has made rules, they know the heart of the rule also. And therefore, tarko apratishtho. It's very futile to argue about issues. You may be right technically, but you may be totally wrong spiritually or in the spirit. Tarko apratishtho shrutayo vibhinnah nasav muniryasya matam na bhinnam. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yenagata samantha. Therefore, it is necessary that we very scrutinizingly study the scriptures. So, Chaitanya Leela is all about a demonstration of the Lord, the glory of the position of being a servant of Krishna, and the glory of serving in the association of devotees and experiencing bhakti bhav. It is so nectarian that even the Supreme Lord wants to take the position of his devotee. And that is the gift that Mahaprabhu has come to offer. That is the gift that Srila Prabhupada has come to offer. And unless we, and how do we understand the spirit of these laws when we put our heart into whatever we do. That is Krishna consciousness. To be conscious of not just what we are doing, but why we are doing what we are doing. Is it really serving the purpose of that? And that cannot be understood on our own. Therefore, we need a guru. Therefore, we need, you know, a proper environment discussing. And then we can actually take. And then it will be a burden, but it will be a burden of love. It will be a burden of love. As he was discussing the other day, Prabhupada took up that burden to run an institution, to run an international society. Big burden, big responsibility, so much anxiety, so much headache. It's not easy. But that's a sign of love, a burden of love. And all the inconveniences that are undertaken in that service is actually an expression of love, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions. So it has to be taken. Relief of burden is not possible. Struggle for existence, that's another one burden. But simply mukti, we cannot sustain for long. We need to have a burden, and that burden is burden of bhakti, means a burden of love. And when we take that up, then by Krishna's, because he's Yogeshwar, the biggest burden can still make you feel so light. Having taken all this burden, still you feel light. So light that you can dance and actually jump in the air. Very difficult for a burdensome, anxiety-ridden person to say, dance. Can't dance. How can a person dance? How can a person smile also? Being anxiety means moroseness, depression. The amazing thing, Prahlad Maharaj is feeling both. Tremendous lamentation. In the same verse he is telling, Mahamrita Magnachita, I am blissful, my Lord, and simultaneously I am lamenting. Very difficult for this. And his Lord is also like that. As Gaur Gopal Prabhu always mentions, you know, old Narsingdev had, you know, two different emotions in his two eyes. In one eye he was angry like fire on Hiranyakashipu, and with another eye he was showing Karunamayi. With great compassion he was looking at Prahlad Maharaj. Now, the best actor in this world, it's a challenge, it's an open challenge. Can any actor demonstrate these two emotions in two eyes? Impossible. One emotion prevails, but the Lord is simultaneous. Therefore, his devotees also. Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, and Srivas's brothers before Mahaprabhu's advent, they were relishing nectar and simultaneously crying out for people in Navadvip. Simultaneously. Bliss, they're enjoying bliss, and simultaneously they are lamenting. Because the nature of spiritual enjoyment or spiritual happiness is makes your heart soft, and a soft heart cannot see sufferings of other living entities. Material happiness makes the heart hard. You become insensitive to the needs of others. Insensitive. That's basically, selfishness makes the heart hard. I don't care what happens to the world, as long as I am happy. So this is the wonderful gift that the Lord has given. So from Trinavarta's burden to Mother Yashoda's burden, this is our goal of life. To move from one end to one extreme to the other extreme. One weight is crushing him down to death. The other one is a bigger burden actually. The burden of love, the burden of separation. As soon as Krishna disappeared in Trinodam, Mother Yashoda fainted with love of separation. She was serving everything for Krishna and now Krishna has disappeared. Immediately she fainted. So that love we want. And therefore, we are eager to accept this burden right now. The burden of rules and regulations, with a hope that we understand, put our heart into it and understand the spirit and please Krishna. The essence of all laws are love. And essence of all don'ts, vidhi and nisheda, do's and don'ts. The essence of all do's is do those things which increases your love for Krishna. And please don't do anything which makes you forget Krishna or lose Krishna's association or worse than that, hate Krishna. Icha dvesha samutthena. We hated Krishna and therefore we have come here. But we love Krishna and we'll go back. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhu. Before I say Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Prabhuji raised his hand.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. You are mentioning about how you have to put your heart into something. You know, if to experience bhakti bhava, you have to, for our services and everything, you have to put your heart. Now, the fallout of that is, when we put our heart into something, we also become attached. Now, we have heard that a devotee should also be detached. It's easy to be detached if you're not putting heart into something. And if you put heart into something, you become attached. So how to put your heart into some services and at the same time become detached? Are there any tips for that?
Try to understand the heart of putting one's heart. We are putting our heart into something to please someone. I am putting my heart into this service or this responsibility or this object to please someone. So if doing it in particular way pleases that person, irrespective of whether it pleases me or not, I'll do it. So putting our heart into that means to understand why we are doing what we are doing. That's all. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasad. And what is the proof of that attachment? When you are told, forget it. Just when the fruits are coming, you have watered the plant and everything, now the fruits are coming and about to pluck, leave this garden. Stone-like garden. I said, but what about that? He says, over, now this one. So we are not attached to the service, but we are attached to the person for whom we are actually. If that is understood, then we do the needful.
Okay. Hare Krishna.